Good morning, Saints. Isn't it interesting each Sunday how many times we greet each other with good morning? I like it. I definitely like it, encouraged by it all the time, because we can't say good morning enough, right? So let's do it again. Good morning, Saints. Let's open the Word of God together, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We're going to begin a section here in Corinthians. God's Word, we're going to open it up together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. For the next few weeks, we're going to be going through these what starts here all the way to the end of chapter 3. Roughly 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about wisdom. Mostly divine wisdom. We're going to talk about man's wisdom or human wisdom for a bit. But from chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through the end of chapter 3, Paul's topic is wisdom. Really, what he's doing is a comparison or a contrast between God's wisdom and human wisdom. So kind of get that in your heart and mind. We'll be looking at it that way. Divine wisdom against man's wisdom. You know, like a 15-round bout. Heavyweight championship of the world. You guys ready? Over in this corner, human wisdom, weighing at 128, whatever that would be, that kind of thing. And over here, in God's wisdom. And the bell rings in the first 30 seconds of the first round, fight's over, isn't it? Man's wisdom doesn't really compare to God's wisdom. There's really not much of a battle. We're going to look at this, and, you know, as intelligent as man can be and as man has become, human wisdom's no match for the creator of humanity. And his wisdom, it's not. But we're going to get directed that in our heart. Paul is getting at this through these sections, the supremacy of God's wisdom. And as we look at these things and study these things and go through God's word as he speaks to us about, you know, our human reasoning and human philosophy, and we're going to recognize in our own heart, we have some things in our own heart and mind where we would hold up against God as smart. And it's important for us to recognize what Paul is doing here, and that's what he's doing. To begin with, so let's get a little simple definition of wisdom. You know, I have it in your outline there, a little simple definition of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's taking the facts and the knowledge that you have and making the best choice for the best possible outcome. That's what wisdom is. You guys do this all the time, right? Farmers? All you farmers out there, don't you guys do this all the time? You gain facts and knowledge about your crop, about your grove, about the things that you have, and when to water, and when to spray, and when to till the ground, and when, you know, all those kind of things. And you get all this knowledge and facts, and you go with that, and you make the best possible choice for the best possible outcome, which would be your crop come forward, or your grove produce what it needs to do. We do this all the time. You do it when you make a meal. You look at the things that you have. You have this knowledge and facts that you have on what you can do, and you make the best choice possible for the best possible outcome, or at least we're hoping the wives and the moms are. But you're doing this all the time. Kids, how about the children here? Who's learned to tie their shoes? Raise your hand. You learned to tie your shoes. Boy, we got to work on the shoe tying here. No, but really, what it was, you know, mom and dad, they showed you some knowledge, some facts about how you could do this and do that. And then as you practiced that, as you went along, you made a choice. I'm going to go this way and that way, and I'm going to pull hard. Best possible outcome, my shoe stays on. I mean, simple things. This is what we're kind of going to get at and talked about today. But not only that, humanity does this. We take the facts that we have, the knowledge we have, and we make the best choice possible for the best possible outcome. Now, let me ask you a question. Do that apart from God's wisdom. How far can humanity go? Really, how far can humanity go? Humanity, without the knowledge of the purpose of existence, how far are they going to go? Humanity, without the facts about the true reason for life. Humanity, without the understanding of God's purpose, God's plan, God's desire, and God's answer to all the problems. Humanity, without the knowledge of the how and the what and the why we are here for and what we live for, what kind of choices are they going to make? What kind of choices are they going to make? Simply, you could write this, maybe foolish. Certainly in the text, a whole lot foolish. Look at what Paul said. It's just one page over. Look at chapter 3, verse 19 with me. Look what Paul concludes when he goes through all of this, and he's going to talk about a lot. Like I said, I have 5 weeks, so I won't get to all of the things about human wisdom and God's wisdom, but we're going to start in there, and we're going to, but look at 3:19. Look what he says in here as he concludes about human wisdom. He says this, "For the wisdom of the world, this is man's reasoning about why we're here and what we do and the purpose of life and accomplishing and the things that we're here to do and to solve the problems of man. That's what he's talking about. He says this, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. We're going to look at that word a lot. It's going to be in a lot. The word is from the Greek word where we get moronic. The wisdom of the world is moronic before God. And look what he says here. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, human wisdom. That's what he's talking about. The reasonings of this life, purpose, and all that it is. Look what it says. That they are useless. Boy, that's pretty strong. But that's what he's getting at here. There you go. Human wisdom is useless in living for the purposes of God. And guess what? God made it that way. That's really what he's getting at. Now, we're not talking about farming. We're not talking about, you know, God has given man an incredible way to think and all those kind of things. And we come up with these things of learning and knowledge. But we're talking about living for the purposes of life. Living for the reason that God created it. God's divine wisdom, his divine revelation given to us in his word is the only wisdom. The only wisdom we have to live for the purpose in which we were created. The only one. The only source. Jesus, James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. I'm so glad he didn't say ask man. Because the source of the wisdom we're talking about is God. It's not us. It isn't in us. The source is outside of us. God gave it to us in a book. He put his Holy Spirit in us, the third person of the Trinity, and we'll get into this in weeks ahead so we can understand the wisdom of God, so we can apply the wisdom of God, so as his children of God, we can live for his purposes. Apart from that, we cannot. And that's what he's going to get to. God has all the facts, and he has all the knowledge about everything. And he has decided the best outcome. That's incredible, isn't it? God has decided the best outcome, what we are to live for. His wisdom leads us to make the choices for the outcome, the best possible one that he has already decided. Thank you, Scott, for reading the back today. Look at this again. I put this in for a purpose, and we're still in an introduction. I put this in a purpose here because what God is talking about to the Corinthians here is he wants the Corinthian church to rally around, to be united in, that life is about God's wisdom, about God's truth, about what God says life is about, not what man says life is about. And the best possible outcome, God's decided. Look at your back of the bulletin. Like I said, I quoted this. It's important for us to be united about this. At the beginning, look what it says. God's almighty wisdom is always active and never fails. And like Scott said, in fact, it's perfect. There's not one thing we do that's perfect. God's wisdom's perfect. God makes choices, the best possible choices for the best possible outcome, and it's perfect. To God, it's perfect. To us, we're not really knowing if it's perfect, but God declares it to be perfect. Look what he says. All his works of creation and providence and grace display it, and until we can see it in them, we are just not seeing them straight. But we cannot recognize God's wisdom. Listen to this. We cannot recognize God's wisdom unless we know the end in which he's working. What is the outcome that God is going toward? Unless we are united around that, we won't even be in agreement on what God's wisdom is going toward. And that's what he's getting at here. Where's he working? What Scott read today, what's he after? Ask that in your own heart and mind. What's God after? What is his goal? What is he aiming at? Why did God give us the wisdom in his word? Read it again. When he made us, his purpose was that we should love and honor him, praising him for the wonderfully ordered complexity and variety of his world, using it according to his will, and so enjoying both it and him. Guess what? That's what he's aiming at. That's the best possible outcome. That's what the word of God's going to reveal to us. That's what his wisdom is all about, for us to be that. Listen to what he goes on and says, and though we're fallen, that didn't stop God from what his best possible outcome is. Let me read to you where God is headed in each one of our lives. The best possible outcome that we make the best choices for. He says it this way. Even though we're fallen, God has not abandoned the first purpose. Still, he has plans that a great host of humankind, the believers, the saved, the ones that have been redeemed, rescued, should come to love and honor him. His ultimate objective is to bring them to a state in which they please him entirely and praise him adequately, a state in which he is all in all to them, and he and they rejoice continually in the knowledge of each other's love. That's the knowledge of God's love for us and our love for God, and then our love for each other. People rejoicing in the saving love of God set upon them from all eternity, and God rejoicing in their responsive love of people drawn out of them by grace through the gospel. And that's the word of God. That's the wisdom of God. That's the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the new birth, the new life, everything that God has done in his wisdom to bring about a life that we're, I'll keep it real simple, that we will live and learn in this journey of how to love God and recognizing how much he loves us. And then in responsive, we will love others. That's the greatest two commandments. It's all the same thing. That's what God is aiming at in our life. Well, you guys would know, human reasoning would say there's different aims, wouldn't it? That God did this and this and this for this and this and this. Even some would say. But that's where God's at aim at in every part of our life. So the choices that he puts in his wisdom, in his word, that he wants to guide and lead us in, that we would make the best possible choice for, would that we would grow and that we would understand the love of God and grow in our love for him and our love for others. We put it in our constitution that we would worship God, that we would glorify him in all that we do, that we would love him, that we would love others, that we would mature the saints. That means that we're going to love each other, whatever it takes for each one of us to grow in the Lord. If it's comfort, if it's admonishment, if it's care, if it costs us, it doesn't matter, that God is using us in our life, that we would grow us in all our relationship with Christ and with each other, and then we would win the lost. That would be that we would give our lives in a certain way to love those that don't know Jesus Christ. And what Paul is getting to is he wants us to rally around that. Because human reasoning is going to challenge us to think it's not that. And that's why God wrote this here. That's why God put this to the Corinthian church. This is what he's talking about to them. We're to be united around that, he's saying. The purpose of the church, the purpose of God's salvation. That's why there's all this God's divine wisdom and how what he gave it to us for and what he's getting out. Now, the Corinthian church are not rallied around that. They're not united about that. The context here is in which Paul brings this teaching on wisdom is the church is divided. Groups of people not together in one church family. That's what we're talking about, divided. Schisms is if you use the original language. They're not in unity. There's no foundational doctrine they agree upon, speak the same things. We addressed that before. He moves on here. There's a second thing. There's no common purpose to live life for. A body of Christ where they're separated, they're divided on what they're living for. Each group pridefully rallies around their own worldly wisdom, purpose of life. That's what's going on. And they're in the one body of Christ. And there's more than one. They rally in each group around human wisdom. One group says this, I think the world and God's salvation is about this. And this is going on in the Corinthian church. I think it's that God saved us, rescued us to lift us up. I like that one, right? You can laugh at me. It's okay. To lift us up in this world so we are above other people, we're better than other people, and God has promised us that we won't have any difficulties or troubles and that everything will work out perfectly. And you would see it as, in a sense, this is where it began, health, wealth, prosperity message. It's going on in Corinth. And one group says, I believe, you know, that's a human reasoning and a human psychology. You know, that's not in the Word of God. That's a human philosophy, a reasoning that if there's a God, and if they are, these are, then God would want to lift up and raise up certain people to be above everybody else and make it all work out, and then everybody will recognize their God. That's not what wisdom is about. There's another group that rallies around that salvation is about the freedom of liberty. Well, we're just saved, like you said in communion today, Scott, that we're forgiven of our sin and that, and they see that. And then their human reasoning, that means that we can just live whatever we want to live. the law of liberty. God has just rescued us from everything and paid every one of our sins, and it doesn't matter how we live, and we don't care how. You know what? Why are you guys all worried about this? We can just live and do whatever because we're delivered and rescued, and we'll be in eternity. And then there's another group and another group, and I won't go through the rest of them. You see what I'm getting at? Now, I want you to remember, I'm picking out context here because this is important. Like I said, we're going to go through this. This topic's going to be up here, and I can't cover everything about God's wisdom. I can't in 5 weeks, that's for sure, but in one, I won't bring it all up. But I want you to remember something. You might want to write this down. Remember, they're barely 5 years old into Christianity. Everybody in that church, barely 5 years old. Barely 5 years in Christianity. They don't really have the New Testament. They're learning. And they have been saved out of a world overwhelmed by the philosophy of men. That's the world they came out of. Greek and Roman philosophies. Philosophical view about reality, a human wisdom about reality, a humanistic view that tries to solve the fundamental problems of sin, of existence, of purpose, and why they're here, by man's reasoning and what to live for, and they're divided. And God knows it will never lead them to live for God. Human philosophy. Philosophical views. And they're divided in that. And God is working in their life, wanting them to rally around God's divine wisdom. That's what he's working on. You know, he's doing that in our life, right? Get an amen there? He's working on our life, us to rally around what God says, the purposes are. And we have those own things in our heart. Paul said in Colossians 2:8, he said this, "See that no one takes you captive through philosophy." See that no one takes you captive through human reasonings on what this life is about. He says it's empty deception, tradition of fallen men, and just kindergarten knowledge in the principles of the world. That's what he says. And all of us, listen, all of us have to deal with our own philosophical thoughts. None of us are arrived perfectly in any of this. And we have to deal with our heart and mind, looking at the Word of God, letting God's wisdom, his truth, guide and lead us to live for what God wants us to live for and deal with our own human philosophical view. Look at your world. Look at your world. President of the United States at this time. Now, I'm not on the guy or anything like that. What's his philosophical view on the answers to life? Socialism. Right? That's what his view is. Is that going to solve the problems of the world? No, right? But he's not alone. You can go back president after president and look at their philosophical human reasoning views. Let me give you some help here. The Republican Party doesn't have the answers. Their philosophical human reasonings of what the world's about and how it works and the answers to it, it's not the answers. It's not human wisdom. It's human reason, or God's wisdom. It's human reasoning. Now, there's some things that will line up with God's principles. They will line up with what God desires. But when they do, well, we just want God's wisdom anyway, because most of it won't line up with what God says. And the Democratic Party isn't the answer to all of it. Who has the answer to all of it? The purpose of life, the reason of life, and why we're here and what we're to be doing. Who has the answer? God. And who has he revealed it to? You. The body of Christ. The church has the answer to everything in this life. Us, he's given it to us. And what are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to live it and disseminate it. Regardless if it's accepted, regardless if they like it, regardless if they hate us, because God has, in his divine wisdom, revealed God's divine wisdom to us, and he wants the church to live what he created humanity for. Regardless if our culture accepts it or doesn't accept it. And not to get lost in the philosophical views of the lost world and their human reasoning about what things are like. Well, this church is 5 years out of, there's like 50 philosophical views in Corinth. Well, I think this is very practical for us because there's more than 20 in our world, isn't it? And I won't teach them on all of them, but there's humanism and pragmatism and existentialism and things the way we would view life. And what we want to do is view life the way God says life is about. When you stack up all the human wisdom to divine wisdom, there's no comparing. And we don't want to live for the purpose that the world proclaims life is about, because it doesn't line up with what God says life is about. Certainly we want to enjoy God. Certainly we want to enjoy the things that God has given us. Certainly we want to live in a grateful and thankful and a caring to God about the things that he's provided for us. But what does God just say? Scott, how long is this place going to be here? It is temporal. God wants us to live in a certain way, certain with what he's provided, heading to where he's headed us. I mean, the Bible's all over. We live as aliens and strangers and all of that. So this is what we're going to be confronted with as we battle this fight, God's wisdom, human wisdom. And that's what he's doing. So our goal in the next week, you might want to write this down. This is our goal. Our goal in the next week is to convince or convict our hearts and minds that God's wisdom is the only way. He's going to bring up some things in our own heart and mind where our human reasonings have come in and we're thinking that God is about this and that. But we want to be convicted in our home, mind, and heart. Apart from the wisdom of God, my human reasoning is useless in what this is all about. And that's where he's going here. He's comparing God's wisdom, human wisdom. Now that's the introduction. I know it's long. Probably the longest one I've done, but you know what? I get 5 weeks. I've already announced that I get to at least take 5 weeks on this. So let's start by reading the text. Look at me with me. We're in 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Let's look at this. Paul comparing God's wisdom, human wisdom. Now I want you to listen very carefully to the contrast. Listen to words, God's word, and listen to the contrast. He says this: "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." Where's the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, listen to this, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, you heard the comparison. Don't you love that last verse? If there could be any foolishness of God and any weakness of God, if there could be any, if we just go to the bottom, the weakest part of God and the foolish part of the most moronic thing of God, he declares right there, it is just totally wiser than anything human man can come up with. This is the comparison that he has going on. You see it in the text. He's comparing it. So we can look and see, you know, in our own heart, you know, this church is like, okay, where are we in human reasoning and we want to be in God's reasoning? So look at the contrast again. Verse 18, look at it with me. Here's the contrast. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That is such a dynamic contrast. Could it be any more contrasted? The word of the cross. The word of God, God's word about Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a little bit of it, what he's talking about. That all people are sinners in need of salvation and need a Lord to guide them, their life to follow. That the Lord himself, the Lord that they need, God himself, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven, became a man, died on the cross. He hung on a piece of wood to pay the penalty of your sin, which you could never do except for eternal death. Good works will never get you. And he was raised from the dead in order that all who all that who would believe and trust in his work would be born again, given new life, which we all need. And it's the only way to be reconciled back to God and be saved. And it's by faith in that alone. Human reasoning says that's moronic. The human mind says that's just moronic. That God, the God that created us, would come down and that he would pay for our sin. He would die on a piece of wood on a cross. And that we're sinners, and that in our human reasoning, there's nothing that we can do, live good enough, live the right way, do good enough things that God would forgive us for anything. You mean God won't forgive us for anything? Doesn't matter how good you are, you could be the most nicest, best person on the planet, and God won't forgive you for anything? No, he won't. He won't forgive you for anything. Forgiveness is only found in that God came down, the Lord himself, incarnate in a man, all the way God, all the way man, and died on the cross. And you have to put your faith in that. Human reasoning, it's moronic. You know, until 33, it was moronic to me. I just thought, you know, that's good. People shared it, but that's just stupid. But to us that God has pierced our heart with the truth of Christ and opened our heart up to go beyond human reasoning and to see the cross and to see Jesus Christ, to be opened up to the true wisdom of God, that no way man could save himself, that we're sinners, and that God came to rescue us and to deliver us from our sin. To those that God has pierced your heart into, that you put your faith and belief and trust in him, it is the power of God because it transforms lives. It gives you new life, a new birth. It's the power of God, Jesus Christ, the truth of him and all that he is. Now, could it be any more contrasted? You know, human reasoning, he says in verse 21, will never come to know God. It can't. That's the way God designed it. That in our human wisdom and our human reasoning, we won't come to know God. It won't ever come to our heart and mind unless the Lord himself pierces our heart, unless God opens us up to the truth of divine wisdom. Boy, this is a great contrast. You know, like I said, it was moronic to me until I was 33. It was moronic to every Christian, the Corinthian believer 5 years previously. Everybody in the room reading the letter 5 years previously, it was all moronic to them. They know exactly what he's talking about. They're not confused. They're not like, what? They're totally getting it. They totally understand. Boy, and you know what? So, yeah, they're recognizing in their heart that until God open up our... So the wisdom of God is the power of God. Human reasoning doesn't see God's wisdom. James said in John 3, human wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, it causes jealousy and strife, and when it comes to the purpose of life, it says it's demonic. That's what the Word of God calls it. But God's wisdom is from him and carries the character of him, is pure, reasonable, full of mercy, peaceable, and it's supernatural because it's of God's power. It transforms lives. We talk about this all the time in the church. We want to follow the Word of God and learn the Word of God and hide it in our heart. Thank you for your sharing, Cindy. And, you know, and just because you know what, Cindy, we know about for our kids? That if we help them learn God's Word and if we help them memorize and we hide it on their heart because it is the power of God, is it not? It is the power of God. The wisdom of God is the power of God. And when God opens up a heart to the truth, you know what he does? He transforms the way we live. We're all experiencing that in our life. The world and its human reasoning, none of that's happening, you guys. None of that's happening. The power of God is not active in their life, changing their attitude, changing the way they care about people, changing the way they speak to each other. No, none of that is going on. There is no power. That's what he's wanting to show them. It's what he's wanting to talk to us about. About human wisdom versus God's wisdom. He's really talking about the Word of God and the Word of man. Look at verse 17. Let me move along here quicker. He's really comparing the Word of God and the Word of man. Look at verse 17. He says this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." Listen to what he said. "For Christ, Jesus Christ, did not send me, you, any of us, to really baptize. He sent the church, the body of Christ, to proclaim the gospel." Guess what? Not in cleverness of speech. You know what those words say in the original language? Not in human words of wisdom. We're not here to preach the Christ in human words of wisdom. We're not to preach the truth of God, the wisdom of God, God's divine revelation in human words of wisdom. Why? Because verse 17, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. And it's the power of God to those that are being saved. I don't want to tell you things about God's word in a human reasoning way. I don't want to teach you, hey, in your human reasoning, if you'll do these things in my human mind, if I'll do these things all work out in the right way. Because then you learn to follow God's word by reasoning, and guess what he just said? There's no power in that. It's divine revelation. It's divine word. It's God's word. The power is in believing and trusting in what he has said. It is the best choice that we can make possible for the best outcome. This is very important, very incredible to our life. And this is what he's talking about. So in our heart and mind, where we're challenged to believe that, well, that doesn't look like a good way to go. But God's word said that's the way to walk forward. And it is the best, very best choice in perfect wisdom for the very best possible outcome, regardless of what your human reasoning tells you. Because it's God. And that's what he's getting it to them in that. Man's word about reality will lead you to perish. It always does. The words of human wisdom don't lead us to God's purpose. Only God's words lead us to God's purpose with God's power. He goes on and says, man's wisdom is transient. Look at it with me. It's 19 and 20. Man's wisdom is transient. Look what he says. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? He says, man's wisdom's transient, brief, momentary, short-lived, fleeting, foolish. I use those words. He's like, quoting what Scott read to us today in Isaiah 29 to emphasize that man's wisdom is to be destroyed. The outcome is death. What did it say, Solomon, Proverbs 14:12? There's a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death. Well, that's important for us to recognize. That's important for us to believe and know. There's a way that seems right to me sometimes in my human reasoning. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, how I tie my shoes. I need God's wisdom on how to tie shoes. I'm talking about living for the purposes of God. I'm talking about living why God has us here. Well, sometimes there's a way that seems right to me, kind of reasoning in that. And then as I learn and study God's word, and he shows me that here's the way for the best possible outcome, that I would love God and love others. And I'm challenged in that way, but it seemed right to me. But God says the way it leads to destruction, death. Jeremiah wrote it this way in 8:9. The wise man, the wise in human reasoning about the purpose of life, he says, are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have now? When we reject the word of the Lord, what kind of wisdom do we have, you guys? Man's human, right? And are we learning right here that what God is challenging us to put in our heart and mind, it really is not worth a whole lot, right? That's what we're getting to here, what he's talking about. So he says in verse 20, listen to what he says. So where's the wise men? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? He's just asking them in their realm of life. Let me ask you guys. So where are the wise men? Where are the debaters of this age? Where are the scribes? Where has human wisdom led humanity? Where do you guys think? We're running in circles, aren't we? Have they solved the sin problem? Have they solved all the crime? No, we make laws and all those kind of things. You can make more laws. We can build every prison. Guess what? Human reasoning will not solve the problems in this world. Now, more prisons and more laws would conform us to maybe be a little better, but it's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid. What is the answer to man, you guys? Christ, God, right? Nothing apart from Christ is the answer for man. You know, when Christ comes back to rule and reign, and then when he comes to restore everything, what would happen if everybody on the planet got saved? How many rules we need? We'd all just need to learn what? And then throw away our human reasoning on what life's about. This is what he's talking to them. He says, hey, you guys, look around your world. Look where the world's been led. Now, this world, man, that would have been really pretty tough to live in that world, too. I mean, we've done better in our life because of what God has given us with all the technology and all that, but we've never solved really any problems. Futility. Living for, seeking after all that will be burned up in God's economy, no value in nothing. Self-gratification. Has not God displayed to you, help me here, give me an amen on this if he's displayed to you. Has not God displayed to you that wisdom of the world is really moronic? As well, but then I still go by my own human reasoning sometimes. Well, this is what we're working on here. And God's wisdom is transforming, but we're going to not go there today. because it is transforming. And like I said, I have some time here, so we'll pick that up next time. So I want to end with this. I want to illustrate it, an ending for us, okay? To where we're just grabbing what God wants us to grab here today. I'm going to close with this, and this is a good illustration. I want you to see your life as driving a car, navigating through life. Okay, so grab the wheel, you guys. Okay, come on, it won't hurt. You know what? As we grabbed the wheel, I saw some of the moms immediately. Boom! I mean, I just saw it. They pushed right on the floor when we grabbed the wheel. Come on, grab the wheel with me, okay? Okay, it won't hurt, I promise you. I promise, you know, it's not human reasoning either. Okay, grab the wheel. Navigating through life, driving a car. See your life as driving a car. You're driving down the road, up the hill, down the hill. All right, you're going around the bends, around the curves, okay? You're cruising around. Ooh, detour. Oh, okay, stoplight. Yes, you're supposed to stop. No California stops, please. Potholes. Oh, yay, wonderful. Slow cars in front of you, going like 20. No way to get around. How you guys doing? Okay, we're driving along, right? Cars parked alongside the road, kind of sticking out. What the world? How come that one's going the wrong way? All the things going on, right? Stretches of clear sailing, no speed limit. Clear sailing, nobody in front of you. Okay, you're navigating a car, okay? Navigating along. You guys have already parked, man. You guys have quit. Come on, clear sailing. No, nothing in front. Other stretches, hailstorm, 80 mile an hour winds. Speed limit 15 miles an hour for 20 miles. What does human wisdom do? Now, navigating a car, see your life as driving a car. What does human wisdom seek? They seek to navigate around all these things, to avoid them. They're agitated by them. That's a nice word, isn't it? They want them all fixed, and they see man's way to remove all the obstacles. Let's just get busy and get them all done. And it never does. It doesn't even know where it's going to end up, and it's guessing at its destination, hoping for the best. Human reasoning. All right, grab the car again. How do we, with God's wisdom, navigate all of this? He didn't tell us why the hill's there. He didn't tell us why the down is there. He didn't tell us all of that. We're not going to figure out how come that car was parked there. I have no idea. What in the world? Why are you going so slow up there? Come on. He doesn't tell us everything. But he's told us. He's told us the best possible outcome. For you to see my love, you to love me, and you love others. He said, and I give you wisdom for that. As we navigate with God's wisdom, drive along. Yes, live rightly by his word. We don't cause some of the potholes and detours. Which I always have to ask forgiveness and confess for the potholes I put in my own life and sometimes in the life of my family. Because I chose not to go by human wisdom or by God's wisdom and go by human wisdom. And we have to acknowledge we're not in control of all of this. That God's sovereign hand is over all of this. And that his sovereign hand, all of this has purpose, everything. Every detour, every struggle, every trial, every difficulty, every tragedy, nothing is out of the hand of God. Nothing. It is perfect wisdom. It doesn't appear to our human reasonings that it is. But it's perfect. God wants us to know that. He wants us to know, I love you, and in my wisdom, you are an incredible child of God to him. He wants to love, but his desire, where he's headed, is to give you the wisdom to make the best possible choices so you know how to love him and you recognize his love for you and that people can see the love of God out of you. That's the choices we make every day. So in the windstorm of the struggle or the good stretch of the road or the uphill or the downhill, by God's wisdom, we can navigate our lives to honor him, to adore him, because we know he loves us and we navigate to love others, to build up the body of Christ, to share the gospel to others. That is the best possible choice. And we all know our destination, eternal life in heaven with God. With glory, where the light afflictions of this life or the momentary afflictions of this life cannot compare, 1 Corinthians 3:18, with the weight of glory that awaits us in eternal life. Let's pray.